Good morning, church. How are you? I like the orange shirt. Yeah. Everybody doing good this morning? You like the cooler weather? Or we could pray for 105 again. Is that no? No, no. Okay. I want to welcome you to our worship service this morning. Welcome to our live stream audience as well. Glad that you are worshiping with us. I want you to hear these words. I was led to this passage because it's Isaiah 43. You know, as we are facing kind of, did you know that unknown is okay? It is. Come on, some of you top A's. Come on now. It's okay, and I'll tell you why. We're gonna read Isaiah 43. But now this is what the Lord says. So we ought to perk up. This is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. And that ought to give us some peace right there. We belong to him. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Because he is the Holy One of Israel, because he has called us his very own, because he's our Savior, we can face the future. We can march forward with confidence on this new chapter. Yes? Are you ready to do it?
Yes.
All right, let's invite him this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you that you love us, that you loved us first, you loved us best, and you've demonstrated that through your Son, Jesus. We thank you that you are our Lord, you're the Holy One of Israel. You are our Savior. And because of that, we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear the future. We trust you. We call on you to send your Holy Spirit into this place today as we worship you. May the name of Jesus be high and lifted up. May you stir our hearts this morning. Surprise us, God, with something new and fresh. In the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you arise, if you are able, as we worship.
There is power.
excited to be here this morning with you, church, the people of God, made to be the temples of the living God. Every one of you were created to be the temple of the living God. And God freely offers, through salvation in Jesus Christ, to put the very same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the grave inside of you who are created to be the temple of God. And to give you the mind of Christ to operate within you. You see, we have a very high calling, church. We have the highest calling. You're not here just to come and say you're a member of this amazing church, which we should all be very thankful for. But every person in this room is called to be kingdom builders. We have the call to bring the kingdom of God to earth as it is in heaven. Not when we die. Now. Now. Let's build the kingdom of God around us. Because he's risen from the grave. He's not still there. There's nobody in the grave. He's alive, church. Let's worship him with the truth that he is alive.
Something stirring.
and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. All right, I'm going to invite everyone to stay where you are and to be seated.
Good morning again. I want to ask Valantos, Garza, and friends. You can, yeah, come right down there. This dude's got some energy right there, man. This is Lelantos Garza, and y'all met Larry last week, and Marcy was working a walk to Emmaus last week, and Larry joined our church. Lelantos is already claimed Jesus as his Lord and Savior, yes? And been baptized, and man, we're excited about that. We received that. Marcy is going to be a part of our church with her family, but she is actually a member of our annual conference as a pastor. And so she will not be officially a member, but we receive you anyway.
Amen.
All right. And so, Lelantos, as you come into this church, we already know that you love Jesus and you know he loves you. Is Jesus your Lord? Amen. And will you be loyal to our church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Yes, he will, he said. All right. We welcome you, buddy. God bless you guys. Make sure Lelantos gets greeted before he leaves today. So, church, I just want to, real quickly before we dismiss for the children, as Lelantos just promised to be faithful to the church, you guys showed your faithfulness this past week. And man, I'm blessed. I'm blessed by this church. I cannot say that often enough. So, children, if you will meet Miss Teresa, the future grandmother. Yes.
Good morning, church. Since we've had a lot of new faces and new people in, just if you don't know who I am, my name is Brent Aiken. I'm one of the youth pastors here. And today, we have a lot of stuff going on, a lot of excitement, a lot of new, but I did have an announcement before we get into prayer. This upcoming Saturday is our men's breakfast. And so if you haven't been to one of those, it's just a gathering where a lot of men come together for a small word of devotion, a quick breakfast. And normally it's with us and Wiley Baptist over the last couple months. But now, even Mount Zion is going to be joining us here this Sunday at 7:30. So Saturday. Sorry, I keep saying Sunday. Saturday. Well, it's not like we do anything on Sundays, Jeff. So Saturday at 7:30 in the morning, if you would like to come to that, we'd love to have you here. It'll be in the fellowship hall right over here. And that is our announcements. Obviously, that one is important. Please, if you would like to come join us, we'd love for you to do so. And so as I started thinking about the prayer time for this morning, new just kept popping into my head. New things, new life, as we talked about Teresa being a future grandmother. Just lots of new. And so I wanted to just take a moment and do a kind of a group conversation about what we're thankful for today. Maybe there's new thankfulness in our congregation this morning. So if there's something that you are thankful for this morning, raise your hand, shout it out, whatever. We just want to take a moment and celebrate God's goodness through being thankful for what God has done for us. Great family. Great family. Recuperating from another bout of COVID. You said Jesus. Thankful for being cancer-free. What else? Amen. New family? Okay. What else? Thank you for what? Health. Yes. something we overlook, right, until it goes wrong. Thankful for this church. Amen. Thankful for our pastor. Yes. I personally am thankful for grandparents that take children for nights where we don't have to have children. So that's always fun. A little more sleep happens on those evenings, so it's always great. Yeah, college trip. Thankful for seniors moving on, moving forward, getting ready for that next new step. Anything else? Do what? Thankful for me. Well, cool. Thank you. Thankful for an awesome worship leader. Isn't Cody good? He's back there. He hides in the corner. Salvation. Man, we could just do this all day, right? So, as I was looking at new, though, there were obviously a couple scriptures that come to mind, and I'm just going to read a few of them. Actually, someone had their hand up. Eli? Okay, me again. I'll pay you later for that. But a few scriptures that come to mind, obviously, are far and in between, because new is a huge topic throughout all scripture. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Isaiah 65:17 says, for I will create a new heaven and a new earth. The past events will not be remembered or come to mind. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that one. Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So, church, as we pray today, I just wanted to take a moment and thank God for the goodness and the new that is evident throughout our entire church, from new direction and new opportunities for this church body as a whole, to new life with celebrating for grandbabies and new starts with prepping for college and everything else in between. There's new brings great excitement, great joy. And I just wanted to take a moment this morning and celebrate the fact that God has his hands in everything new. Can we do that? Pray with me. God, we thank you for the fact that you are the creator. You are the creator of everything good, everything good. You bring order out of chaos. You bring new life out of nothing. God, and as normally new things bring closing chapters to old ones, God, I just pray that, just like in the scripture says, that we don't focus on what's in the past. We don't focus on what was old. That we focus in on the new things that you have prepared and in store for us. Allow us to be a congregation that is firmly planted in the direction of your will. Allow our church to be one that is a light in a sea of darkness surrounding us to where we can be that new, we can be that light, we can be that truth and that joy for everyone that we come in contact with. We thank you for your teaching. We thank you for your instruction that you gave the disciples. We thank you for the life that you lived on earth so we could see a glimpse of what it is like to live without sin, to live without fear. And God, I just pray that we cling and hold fast to the fact that through you, we can be your hands and feet. We can bring new out of this building and bring new life into our community. We can bring light from this place and bring it all across the world through any and every mission and ministry opportunity that you have allowed us to be a part of. I just pray that you will continue to guide us and direct us in this season of new. God, we thank you for the weather. We thank you for how wonderful and how beautiful it is outside. Just once again, a reminder of how good you are. We thank you for all of the teaching, all of the instruction that you gave us. And God, we even thank you that you took time to even teach us how to pray. And we join as we recite that prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we move into this next worship set, just a reminder, for offerings and tithes, you are welcome to follow the instructions on the screen through and give electronically through our app, or you can text to that number. Or if you have a check or money or anything else, there are boxes by each door. I think we're getting to the point now to where it's understood that there are no more plates on the rail, and so we've moved to the doors now. So please be sure to do that as you leave or give electronically. We thank you.
This next song is probably either your jam, one of your favorite songs on worship ever written, or it will be new to you. Okay, so if it's new to you this morning, this is a powerful song. It's called Audience of One. So I just invite you to prayerfully read along with the words, and when you get a hold of it, sing along with us. And then for you who this is your jam, let's worship our God with all that we are this morning.
Song. And we lift it.
verse of this song, and the first one is, you are here. And the reality that the living God is in this room with us, he's in your heart. He's knocking on your heart right now. I don't care who you are. Maybe you've let him into your heart, and maybe you haven't. If you haven't, he's knocking on your heart, because that's who our God is. But he is here. And that truth changes everything about who we are and everything about the world. And the second line that we see in every verse is, I worship you. And Jesus Christ is the way. He's the way maker. He's the truth, and he's the life. This morning, I pray that we respond to the presence of God in worship by lining up our way with the way of Jesus. And if there's anything in you that does not line up with the way of Jesus Christ in your life, your act of worship this morning is to align yourself to God's way and ask him to help you with that. And I'm in that task with you this morning. I'm asking God to change my ways to his ways. So this morning, as we continue in worship, let's pray that we align ourselves to the way maker, that we align ourselves to the loving ways of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Well, let me ask you, is the Holy Spirit welcome here? Is he welcome here? Amen, amen. Glad that you're with us this morning and chosen to spend your Sunday morning worshiping with us. Again, very, very blessed if you are our guest that you are here. Hope you feel the love of God's people. I hope you feel the Holy Spirit, and I hope you feel the love of the Holy Spirit. If you are our guest, there is a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guest registration with a blue stripe. Would love for you to fill that out, and I'd love to meet you if I haven't already. I'll be at this end of the foyer and would love to meet you, have a free gift for the guest. Before I get into the sermon, I have a humorous yet profound thing I want to share with you. I have three wonderful grandchildren. Two of them swung by the house last night, and Oliver is six, and Sage, his little sister, is three. Now, they were out doing family things yesterday, and Oliver, as big brothers sometimes do, was maybe pestering little sister in the back of the car, and she kept saying, "Stop it, Oliver, stop it, Oliver." And that wasn't worrying. Mommy, Daddy, stop, you know, and it wasn't stopping. So finally she said, "In the name of Jesus, stop it." True story. Did he stop it? He did, eventually. Okay. We may have something there. Romans chapter 8 is where we are. Romans chapter 8. The Lord did an about face on me. I actually was going somewhere a little different this week. And this weekend, that ever happened, George? That ever happened to you, Marv? The Lord ever do an about face for you, Marcy? Yeah. All right, Romans chapter 8. Now, we're going to read quite a bit of scripture here. I was talking to Cheryl yesterday. Do you know that basically a pastor's life should be easy from the pulpit if we just read God's Word? There's your sermon. Yes? All right, Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." I think I want to read that again. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, church. "Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit." Verse 5. "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds controlled, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." Did you know that the Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the tomb lives in us? That's pretty important stuff, church. Verse 15, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you, and you are indeed welcome here. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak. We ask you to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message is God is with us. You know, I am intentionally turning the page. I guess that's how you turn the page. We're turning the page. We're going to start looking forward. Are you ready for that? You've heard me say this in many of the emails. If you're not on our email list and would like to be, just jot it down on a piece of paper and let me have that, and I'll get you added. But I've talked about it from the pulpit. I've talked about it in our emails that the new denomination that we have aligned with that will become effective January 1 at Global Methodist Church is a Wesleyan denomination. And so many of you probably aren't quite sure what that means. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit today, and we're going to also be talking about it more next week. But John Wesley was the founder of Methodism. He was a pastor of the Church of England, and long story short, thousands and thousands of people came to Christ through Wesley's ministry. And as he was coming, he died as a very old man. On his deathbed, his last words were this: the best of all is God is with us. Think of all the things he could have said. That seemed to be something for the church moving forward. For him, he was fixed to be with Christ. I mean, these were literally his last words. He was fixed to be, his faith was fixed to become sight, as the song says. But he says, the best of all is God is with us. Now, this passage that we're going to unpack a little bit today out of Romans, as I said, I shifted gears because I really felt the Lord laid this scripture on my heart for us today. But Paul, the writer of this letter to Romans, he is not writing this letter in this spiritual bubble like, hey, he came to Christ and everything was easy in Paul's life. And so he's saying, hey, man, you know, we got all these, it's all easy and everything good. No, he had endured many hardships. I mean, so think, we're setting the stage for this letter. He had endured many hardships, and yet he writes from this perspective. You can find in 2 Corinthians 11, I'm not going to spend much time on it, but if you want to read more about his hardships, 2 Corinthians 11, he'd been in prison frequently, he'd been flogged severely, he'd been exposed to death many times, he had received the 40 lashes minus one. The Romans had a law that if you exceeded 40 lashes, the one that was given the lashes would be executed, so they would subtract one in case they weren't very good at counting. So he had endured the 40 lashes minus one five times, he'd been beaten with rods three times, he'd been stoned and left for dead. He had been shipwrecked three times. He said he was constantly in danger. He had known hunger and thirst. The last one he lists is he faced daily the pressure of the concern for all the churches. He had a pastor's heart for these churches. So that's the backdrop for what Paul is saying here. So we need to understand that. I want to focus for just a second. The very last verse that I read, what then shall we say in response to this? The what then is very similar to a therefore. Somebody tell me what therefore means. Very, very, got a lot of shy people, I guess, this morning. Therefore means that you go back and see what it's there for. They're saying, they'll say, present some evidence, and then they'll say, therefore, since this is true, so forth. So what then is very similar to therefore. He's made a list of things, and he's saying, what then shall we say in response to this? The word I want us to that really jumped off the page to me is this. What is he talking about? What then shall we say in response to this? What is the this? Let's talk about what the this is. I'm just going to hit these scriptures that is the this. We know God is for us and with us because, first of all, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are a redeemed people. We don't have to live in guilt and shame. Guess what? The enemy wants us to live there. We have an enemy. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and he loves to shame us. You didn't do this. You should have done this. I mean, all of the way, and let me tell you, if there's anybody in the room I want to meet you that has not disappointed the Lord at some times in your life, I do it, and I ask the Lord to forgive me for that. But there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If we are in Christ Jesus, we don't have to live in this guilt and shame that the enemy would heap upon our shoulders. There's freedom. We know God is with us and for us because there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Secondly, verse 3, we know that God is for us and with us because God has sent his own Son to be a sin offering for us. He demonstrated his love for us in that he sent Jesus. He didn't just talk a good game. He sent Jesus to pay the debt that we owed. And we understand that God is for us and with us because he has sent Jesus. We were worth it. Did you know that you were worth it? And that boggles my mind about myself. I think about that often, that, Lord, why are you even mindful of a knucklehead like me? I mean, why would you even, first of all, even be mindful of me, but second of all, sacrifice your only Son for me? That's how much he loves us. That's why we can look forward to the future. That's why we know that God is with us and for us. He got in it, which leads me to the next one. We know God is for us and with us. Verse 6 through and 11 talks about this, because the Spirit lives in you and gives life and peace. The enemy, he wants to heap shame and guilt upon us, but Jesus came to give us life, and he sent his Holy Spirit to give us peace so we can face the future, because when we know that God is with us, because he has given us through his Spirit life and peace. And I don't know about you, but I've tried it both ways, and I like the life and peace path. Anybody else with me? The next, verse 15, we know that God is for us and with us because we have not received a spirit of fear. Once again, the enemy, he deals in lies, he deals in guilt and shame and fear, and yet God, what is the opposite of fear? Somebody, come on. Faith. Through faith, we don't have to be afraid. There it is. We don't have to be fearful of the future because God has not given us a spirit of fear. Verse 16, for God, we know God is for us and with us because the Spirit testifies to our spirit that we are God's child. Isn't that amazing that God would not only die for us, but he would claim us as his very own? And I've talked about this. I love the imagery of God walking through an orphanage, and there's all these babies lined up, and he comes to you, and he says, I choose him. I choose her. And Marv, I've got Marv's blessing. I got away with it in the first service, so I'll try it again. Marv was adopted as a child, and one of the things that Marv has educated me on is that when you are adopted, by law, you cannot be disinherited. Is this on? We are God's child, which leads me to verse 17. We know that God is for us and with us because we are heirs of God. We're not only His child, we're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And I mentioned this, I've read this several years ago, this illustration, and I loved it. But if there were two chairs sitting in front of the altar table here, and Jesus was sitting in one and you were sitting in the other, and someone asked God the Father, who do you love more? Who do you favor more? What would our initial reaction be, our instinctive reaction be? Well, that's Jesus. But the answer is God would say, I love them both equal. Because we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. God looks at us through the righteousness of Christ. He sees there is no condemnation for those in Christ. We are heirs. We're co-heirs with Christ. Is this on? Anybody hearing this? So the enemy would have us think, man, you're a failure. All these negative things about our life. But God would say, no, you're my child. I choose you. And you're a co-heir with Christ. When I look at you clothed in the righteousness of Christ, I see Christ. I see His righteousness draped on you. Moving on, the next one. We know God is for us and with us because the Spirit intercedes for us in our weakness in accordance with God's will. And I was asking the early service that, do you ever feel like that your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling? Like, man, just, God, I'm praying. I don't feel you. I'm not sensing anything. I think if we're honest, we all may have those moments. For me, I at times just come to that place as like, Lord, I don't even know what to pray. I mean, the ugliness and the sin and the brokenness of our world and just the stuff, you know, just the stresses of life and all of it, and you just kind of get tired and you're just like, Lord, I don't even know what to pray. Guess what? The Spirit intercedes for us. He knows what's in the heart and He intercedes for us to the Father. Sometimes we don't even have to say words. Sometimes a great prayer is just, help. Lord, help me. In the first service, somebody helped me. You remember the Jerry Clower, I think was the comedian's name? I'm showing how old I am, Robert. Jerry Clower is this comedian and kind of a Christian guy and was clean, which is odd. That's why he was way back. But he told this story about, I think it was like a mountain lion or something. He was treed with this mountain lion, and people are coming, and he's saying, shoot up in here. And he's like, we might hit you. And he said, shoot up in here. Somebody's got to have some relief. And that, you ever been like that with your prayers? You know, if you hit him, good. If you hit me, at least I've got a relief. Anyway, I don't know where that came from, but. The Spirit intercedes for us in our weakness. You know, we as a tendency in human behavior, we want to always have our act together. We want to always be strong. We want to always, you know, act like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. When we encourage our kids when they're little, you know, you can do it, you can do it. And we kind of live our life like that. But Christ says, no, my power is made perfect in your weakness. When we come to the end of the rope and we go, Lord, I just don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to deal with these broken relationships in my family. I don't know how to deal with this addiction I've got. And we come to that place of emptiness and brokenness. The Spirit intercedes for us in our weakness in accordance with God's will. Verse 28, we know God is for us and with us because God works for the good of those who love Him. For the good of those who love Him. So I guess the question is, church, do you love Him? So let me ask it again. Do you love Him?
Yes.
Well, so if we claim Scripture, if you love Him, God's working for your good. He wants good things for you. He wants to bless you. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to live in this plastic bubble where nothing, that we never have illness or we never have struggles. That's because Paul, I just read all the things Paul had been through, but he's the one writing this. God works for the good of those who love him. Even in the midst of the chaos of what's going on around us and maybe even in us, God is at work. He wants good things for us if we love him. So that's a list of this. What then shall we say in response to this? And we just listed through those things. And we didn't read this passage, but at the very end of chapter 8, I want to read this. So Paul's he gives this bullet points of all the different reasons why we can trust God, why we know that he will walk with us. And then he ends it at the very end of Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or church splits or... Oh, wait, that's not in there. But it should be. Or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. No, Paul says. Those things won't separate us from the love of Christ. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation would be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves us. He has a hope and a future for us, and he walks with us. And because of that, church, we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear the future. I've said it, and I'll say it again. I'm excited about the future. Excited about the future. What shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ? Well, he demonstrated that love with this meal. What this meal symbolizes. And I've said this before, but I'm not proud of it, but I'll say it again. When I was a young man growing up in the church, Communion Sunday meant I was going to miss the kickoff or I was going to be late at the back of the line at Luby's. And that's sad. But when I was, and I told the early church, y'all can do the math, about 5 years ago when I was around 30. This meal took on a whole new meaning. I came to this table when I was around 30 years old. I came to this table realizing, and I've said this before, but it's the imagery that comes to me. The black light, you remember the black lights? It's like God just put this black light on me, and all the stuff just showed up. It was just like, I didn't know that was there. That's nasty, Lord. I'm a wretched man. And I felt like he said, yes, Mr. Hatcher, you are a wretched man, but I love you. Even with all this gunk that's showing up all over you, I love you, and I became broken for you. And this meal took on a whole new meaning for me. I recognize that it's a precious meal, that his broken body and his shed blood. He did that because he loves me and because he loves you. And it became precious. And I believe the Lord would have it. Sometimes we get all crazy about you got to do it this way, you got to do it that way, and you're not doing that right, and so forth. But I just really believe the Lord just wants us to do it and to remember him when we do it, that this is a sacred meal. It demonstrates his love for us. If you'll pray with me. Father, I thank you for loving us enough to allow your body to be broken and your blood to be shed for our sake. Make this bread and this cup be the body and blood of Jesus for us. May we remember the costliness, the preciousness of this meal, of this table. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So in just a moment, I'm going to let you be come and be served. We come to this table, as I said, you know, like that moment I saw the, in my mind, saw the black light upon me spiritually. I took communion that day. And I didn't take it as a perfect person, but I took it as a redeemed person. And that's what's offered to us today, to come. This is not for perfect people, it's for redeemed people. So I invite you, if you'd bow your heads and just pray your own personal prayer of confession and repentance before the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, Church, you are forgiven. Amen. If those who are serving would come forward to receive. Christ our Lord invites you to this table. It's His invitation. It's not my invitation. It's not even our church's invitation. If you are have placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you repent of your sins, you're welcome at this table. You do not have to be a member of our church to be served. It's also okay if you do not want to partake. I hope you feel free to not do that, but hope you feel welcome to receive. There will be two stations at this end. Two stations at this end where you'll be given a piece of bread, dip it into the cup, and partake in that manner. That's called intinction. The center aisle, you can come if you would like to have the individual elements. You can come there and receive. If you'll go ahead and receive your elements, and you can return to your seat and partake there, and then you can discharge your dispose of your empty at the end of the service. Christ invites us to His table. Come. Thank you. Service. If you need prayer, please don't leave this place without coming and asking for prayer. They would be honored to do that. I will be out at this end of the foyer. Would love to greet our guests. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, church, who can be against us? Go and tell someone. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.